Good one another time. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Anybody know where that comes from? Who said that? All right, good. Been reading the Bible. Jesus said that.
Can I ask you what you were doing today?
No.
Because we're doing Beatitudes in Sunday school, and this is the one she chose for today.
God works. It's Mercy Day at Amazing Grace. So, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You know, the Bible's got a lot of stories of people that were great mercy givers, and just some of them. What about, you remember Joseph? You know, his brothers threw him in the pit, sold him into slavery, and he lived a lifetime in you know, difficulties and being a slave, being in jail. And eventually, his brothers come back before him needing food, and he was capable of giving them food or not. It was totally up to him. And the brothers didn't recognize him. But Joseph, remember what he did? He loved them. He cried for them. He gave them the food. And he even said that what Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. And God sent me ahead of you so that I could provide for you. That's mercy to the extreme, huh? And then what about David? You know, Saul was chasing him all over the kingdom before David was king. And so David and his men are in this cave hiding out. And Saul and his men are chasing him around. And so Saul goes into a cave to take a leak. And David and his men are in there. And Saul doesn't know it. And David could have just cleaned his clock, could have killed him. All of his men were encouraging him to do this. And David knew that it was not his to do. And mercy. What about the true birth mother? Remember, Solomon had two moms come before him, and they bring this baby, and they're fighting over who that baby belongs to. And the true birth mother said, "No, don't cut the baby in half. Just give the baby to the other mother. I just want what's good for the baby." That mother had mercy on that other mother. Instead of, you know, revealing things and insisting on her rights, she had mercy. And then what about Jesus when the adulterous woman was dragged in by a bunch of men? And he had such great compassion and mercy on that woman who didn't deny that she had been sinning, but he just gave her mercy.
I was just thinking about Moses and reading in Exodus, and over and over and over the mercy he showed and begged for his people. Because God would come to Moses and say, "Oh my gosh, these stiff-necked people, I'm going to wipe them out. I'll make a new nation from you." And Moses would go back. How many times did he, and think even with the plagues, right? Moses, the Pharaoh would say, okay, I relent. And Moses would go back and intervene for him with God. And I just can't, I mean, I know there was times when he got angry and misbehaved, but oh my gosh, I mean, how many times did he have to show mercy to the people by going back and begging
Abraham too, with his family.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Forgive them, God, forgive them. Don't destroy them. They're my people and I love them.
Throughout the Bible, it's just filled with mercy. And as the Holy Spirit comes in the New Testament and becomes an indwelling spirit and gives us spiritual gifts, one of them is mercy. Mercy is a spiritual gift. It's not a showy trophy gift. You know, there's many gifts that he gives us, and some are maybe a little more showy, or people make them out to be. Mercy is not a divisive gift. there are some gifts that, taken out of context, tend to divide Christians and divide the body. We don't have mercy-filled churches and non-mercy-filled churches. Every church should be and is mercy-filled for not only what we've been hearing, but God is the giver of mercy. Mercy requires humility. You cannot have mercy, you cannot be a giver of mercy without humility. It requires us to be second, to have that attitude that I'd rather be wronged than to be right and have justice and harm my brother or sister. Mercy giver. Mercy includes, or its attributes are patience, compassion, forgiveness, and even pleading.
Even what?
Pleading. Pleading with God. Mercy is not a driver of debt and justice. Rather, it flies in the face of that. It flies in the face of debt and justice. In fact, mercy exists because of debt and justice. Anger will squelch mercy. Anger will squelch mercy. And mercy is wrapped up in grace. So, do we ever examine ourselves and see if our life, when we're complaining about all of these crushing debts that maybe we have, maybe oppressive situations, just a really difficult go in life, do we ever examine ourselves to see if we are holding back mercy? If we are not giving others mercy? You see where I'm going with this? Turn with me to Matthew 18. Let's see, let's read this parable that Jesus gives us about mercy. Matthew 18, and we'll begin with verse 23. Hallelujah, there. Matthew 18, beginning with verse 23. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle his accounts with his slaves. There's always a day, an appointed day, an appointed time when the king is going to settle the debts. And when God...
Is this like April 15th?
I'm sorry?
Is this like April 15th?
No, no. I guess you could make that connection.
Yeah.
But we're going to go bigger than that.
More like Jubilee.
Yeah, you know, in Jesus' frame of reference is the Sabbath years and the Jubilee and all of those things. I mean, that law was given to illustrate this when Jesus taught it. But there's going to come that day, there's going to come that day for all of us, too, when we have to stand before the king and settle our debts. 24, when he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children, and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground, and prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." This slave who owes this money to the king is pleading, you know, "Have patience, have mercy, you know, give me more time." He wasn't denying that he owed it. He was just saying he didn't have it, he needed more time. And in a sense, he was saying he didn't really prepare. He got into these depths without thought. Didn't count the cost. Verse 27. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion, and he released him and forgave him the debt. Now, at this point in the story, we're going, yay, yeah, that's awesome. How big of that king? And when I have to stand before God, Mom, that's what I want to see. That king chose mercy. He had the authority and the right to sell to exact justice. That was the law. He had the right, and yet he chose mercy. In this parable, as we're going through it, I want you to realize that the king in the story is like God. The slaves are us. We are the bond slaves of Jesus, the bond slaves. So that's the part we play. And then this first slave who owes 10,000 talents to the king is like a prolific sinner, the worst of sinners, any of us maybe.
I just really didn't know how much 10,000 talents was, and it was impossible. It was, it says here, 150,000 years of wages. Oh. It's just impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
My version said millions of dollars.
Yeah. So, that's, we have to kind of see where we fit in the story here. So continuing on, verse 28. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and that's how much? That's a day's wages?
No, I don't think it's even that. Yeah. One talent was 3 months' wages.
Well, this is a denarii.
But so I don't know what a denarii is.
Yeah, I think it's about a day's wage. Not much compared to, you know, 150,000 years or millions of dollars. And this slave seized his other slave and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." So his fellow slave fell to the ground, and he began to plead with this slave and saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." The same pleading that this other slave had made to the king and received mercy. 30. But he was unwilling, and he went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. Now, that was the law. He had the authority and the right to do it. Just as the king had the authority and the right to sell him and his family everything he had, but he chose mercy. And this slave chose justice.
My Bible says a talent is 6,000 denarii.
Okay. So, when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. And I think the point to catch here is if we find ourselves being that unmerciful slave, that unmerciful Christian brother or sister to our fellow brothers and sisters, we might think, because we're just doing what was right, we're just doing what we had the authority to do, we're neglecting what God's heart is. The pleas and the cries of our fellow Christian, our brother or sister, will be heard by God. Will be heard by God. God will hear that, and God will take action. Let's see what happens in the rest of the story. Verse 32. Then, summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave? And in the same way that I had mercy on you?" That's a tough question to answer, isn't it? And we know what the right answer is. Yeah, yeah, I should have. I will. This parable is given to the church. It's given to us. This parable is for us. It's how we should behave. And yet, we see across the landscape in our country, brothers and sisters, Christians, are not necessarily behaving this way, are they? They're insisting on justice and not being a mercy giver. And sometimes when people take advantage of us, they don't pay us back what is owed to us, we feel pretty justified in insisting that we get paid back, don't we? But when we see somebody give mercy, what are we thinking? How do we feel about that person? Some of us may say, what a fool, what an idiot. If it had been me, I would have done this and this and this. You know, how could he do that? He's just going to get taken advantage of. And that's the point. We should be mercy givers. We're not deserving of mercy that God gives us. So how can we insist upon justice with our brother or sister, especially if they're not capable, especially when we look at how much was forgiven us? You know, we've all wronged other people, and there's been mercy givers in each of our lives. And they've released us from a debt. They've released us from something that we owed or a wrong that we did, and they forgave us. And how quickly we forget. I just threw the gold in the fire, and out came a cow. Thanks for that.
Oh, a long time ago, somebody I worked for ended up on me like $1,500 of payroll, which I have not seen. And the last day I saw him, well, this guy, he was a compulsive liar. He's a crazy man. And he is threatening my life, my health, and the whole nine yards, and leaving him alone and all that. And, well, later on, I didn't. I just let it go. You know, this guy's way too crazy. And, well, you know, I live by the saying, I hope this is not bad or wrong or whatever, but usually what goes around comes around. Mm-hmm. And I let it go because maybe one day whatever happens to that guy, you know, if something comes around, well, but it's not done by me, you know. And after a while, I did learn to forgive, but I haven't forgotten, you know. But, you know, I can't pack hatred like that with me all the time, especially when the second coming happens, so.
It, you know, the world doesn't understand it when we Christians give mercy. But they do admire it. They're intrigued by it. How can they do that? They're fools. But we are to be mercy givers.
Could you address this in the... Is there a different way of dealing with this in like business? When you have to make payroll and you have to pay your bills and you have to... because, I mean, I've developed that 8th rep list, as you well know. And it's just categorizing people's behaviors that we've worked for in the past and who... why, and the people we don't really want to work for anymore. And I mean, where does mercy end up in that whole mess?
In choosing which customers to work for?
In choosing how to, choosing how to dispense mercy when you have to make enough money to pay your payroll and your bills. I mean, we struggle with that.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a struggle in life, and if it was easy, Jesus wouldn't tell us we have to do it. One of my next points on this slide is if you want mercy, be a mercy giver. Don't be a justice exactor. And where's that line fall? Where's that balance fall? I think if we look at this parable, we see that the slave that owed the king so much money it was impossible, the king was willing to give them mercy. But when the king saw what the slave did to his fellow slave, then he saw that that person was not being a mercy giver. And that's where we lost. Now, mercy, you know, it comes with wisdom and discernment. And that's where I'm going to stop my answer right now, because we're going to kind of hit that again and see if that hopefully answers your question.
I'm listening.
All right. No sleeping for you. So what we see in this story is that the king replaced mercy with justice for this slave who was not mercy giving to his fellow slave, who owed him much less. And that's the point. Mercy can be replaced in our lives with justice anytime you want it. Just stop giving mercy. Stop being merciful. Verse 34. And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. God can replace mercy with justice in our lives anytime we want it. You want to be blessed? Be a mercy giver. Be merciful. Now, there is a misuse of this gift of mercy too. So, we don't want you to be misusing mercy, because there's some problems that are created. So let me bring up some of those that might be potential misuses. One is an improper take-up of offenses. In other words, let's say that Greg is seeking mercy, and I want to give him mercy, and Greg is really mad about what Ron did, and like, you know, the fellow slave, and then, you know, I hear this offense that Ron did to Greg, and I take that offense, and I get on a soapbox, and this becomes my new thing, and I'm no longer a mercy giver. I'm taking that offense that I didn't think was right, and I'm using it against other people. I'm insisting that other people, you know, are doing that or shouldn't be doing that. So in other words, we can take up an offense and it becomes a sword for us. That is not mercy giving. We can take up an offense and maybe all of a sudden I get mad at Ron because I heard what he did to Greg. Mercy can become possessive. We have to be careful when we're giving mercy that we don't put ourselves in the place of the king, that we realize we're the fellow slave, that we don't all of a sudden think that we have some authority or control over the person we're giving mercy to, that that person owes us something because we gave them mercy. Mercy can learn to tolerate evil. If we're not careful, if we're not distinguishing, if we're not discerning, we can begin to tolerate evil. That is not mercy. That's a misuse of the gift of mercy. You might say, well, then what are we supposed to do about it? Well, the Bible speaks on that throughout. We, you know, that issue is not answered by just mercy. There's wisdom, there's discernment, there's truth. There's God's will. Mercy can fail to be firm. Just because we give mercy to someone doesn't mean we should be saying to them and communicating to them that anything goes. You could just walk all over that person, or you could walk all over me, or whatever. You know, giving mercy needs to be firm. It needs to be based in truth and love and all of the characteristics and attributes that we see God wanting us to do, because that's what He is.
Not enabling somebody.
Right. But the person that you might enable still deserves mercy. We need to give them mercy, but it needs to be given in wisdom. So it needs to be given in grace and love. And for that, you need to get yourself right in the middle of something where you have to give mercy. And so you learn those lessons.
So if I've got an F-list client who has not paid me, has cheated me, and everything else, and they, for whatever insane reason, these people call again, okay, because they think I'm an idiot, and we'll continue to deal with them, what is my response?
Well, I think if they owed you money, you still give them your best advice. You still give it in a loving manner, and you still want the best for them, and it may be that you can't do the work for them, but maybe you can give them a solution instead of cutting them off. I don't want to talk to you. You owe me money. Pay me and then I'll give you my advice. Maybe you can, in finding that solution that works for them, they hire somebody else.
Okay. Yeah. Set up a payment plan.
It's an attitude of heart. Do you really want the best for that person, realizing that, you know, you've offended God too?
Well, actually, now that you mentioned that, there was somebody that called back, and after several years, and they had not, it took us like a year and a half to get paid from this lady, and she needed work done at her place again, and I did approach it that way, and just, hey, look, you know, what am I supposed to do? And you know, I mean, you know, we had real troubles with you last time trying to get paid. And I was really kind about it, really empathetic. And I think that's the key. And she was like, look, she goes, I had troubles back then. I'm in a good place now. You let me know what this is going to cost. I will pay you up front. And that worked.
But did you do the work?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, that's mercy. I mean, you worked it out. It's, you didn't say, no, I hate you. I'm never working for you again because you never paid me the first time.
I have been totally convicted over one of my favorite phrases, which is, why me? I want to say that so often. And it's just like, anytime I say that, I know I'm going down the toilet.
Well, I read a story in the Old Testament somewhere where that's what the serpents were doing.
Is it possible to show somebody true mercy while also kind of keeping them at arm's length, like not trying to fully involve them into your life?
For sure.
You also don't want to, like, right, condemn them and just
giving mercy doesn't mean you have to take on
take
their
them
problems.
In, like, okay.
You know, this is what I'm saying is you don't want to get in the desire to give mercy. You don't want to do things that are unwise, do things that are maybe not mercy in the name of mercy.
Right. Okay.
Starting with mercy sex.
But the key is your heart. You know, are you really loving them and wanting the best for them and trying to figure out the best thing for them? I mean, I get people who call me all the time that we've helped out before and they didn't do their part whatsoever or they did something. I don't say, I don't want to talk to you. You don't deserve it. But I try to help them work through their situation. And it may be that I'm not part of that situation this time, but at least I help them work through it.
Right.
And that's kind of part of this being firm, you know. Mercy can be misused by leaning on emotion too much and not principles. And that's kind of what we've been talking about right here in this little discussion is, you know, there are principles that God gives us that we should follow and we should teach others to follow. And we don't want to lean too heavily on emotion combined with mercy. So that's a misuse there. We don't want to misuse mercy by defrauding the opposite sex. Mercy with the wrong motivations can take advantage of the opposite sex emotions, and they may receive the mercy with the inappropriate intentions, and they may say, oh, that person is so merciful, and that's what I need. I'm gonna give myself to them. That's misusing the gift of mercy. You know, we need to have those godly boundaries, not only in our relationships, but that godly boundary around mercy. So misusing mercy has caused all kinds of problems, particularly in the ministry, with pastors and these spiritual teachers and televangelists. You know, misusing mercy can create the wrong actions. So be careful on that. Misusing mercy can be meddling with God's purposes. How many of us know that God disciplines us with consequences? Huh? So if we're going to give mercy, if we're going to be merciful, we need to have our eyes open and look at what's going on. Because maybe what's going on in that person's life is God giving them a consequence to teach them something. We don't want to get in the middle of that. We don't want to be a roadblock of what God is trying to do in their life. Misuse of the gift of mercy could be we're failing to show deference to others. In other words, we're giving mercy to someone, but we're misusing that in our relationship with others, or their relationship with others. In other words, people that need mercy, a mercy giver can get consumed with that, so that they completely ignore the other people that need mercy, or need some of their time, or need some discipling, or whatever. And that's kind of another part of that is we might actually cut off people that are insensitive to the person that is giving the mercy. In other words, we might cut off the person that thinks that we're an idiot for giving mercy. I can't tell you how many times I've had people tell me what an idiot I am because of giving mercy. Don't you know they don't deserve it? Don't you know they've done this and that? And that person that is accusing us, they need mercy too. And really what they're saying is, I need mercy too. Don't just give it all to them. Give some to me. All right, well, let's finish up this. Maybe it's torture to you. I don't know. Christians should be known for mercy and love and forgiveness, not as righteous exactors of justice. Huh? I mean, how many of us, maybe even before you're Christians, one of the biggest problems we had with Christians was, you know, they were always, you know, goody-two-shoe. They were exacting justice on people. They weren't forgiving. They were mean. And yet, what attracted people to Christianity in the first century was they saw the love that each member of the church had for one another. And they said, I want to be part of that. And that's what this body needs to be. That's what we all need to be. Not showing people how much we know about God's law by exacting justice on someone else to demonstrate it in the place of mercy. We are to give mercy. We are to be merciful. Being a mercy giver pays off. It pays off. It speaks to God's heart. And we should default to that characteristic. We should default to being merciful rather than demonstrators of what justice and law ought to be. Mercy giving requires a new heart, not strength. It requires a new heart. We said it was a spiritual gift. That spiritual gift is given in a spiritual way to a spiritual person, one who has a new heart that's been changed by God. It is not intuitive. What's intuitive to us is that we exact justice, that we make sure we get paid back. So Mercy giving requires a new heart. One that says, okay, I'd rather be wronged so I can demonstrate love and mercy to my brother. So, can you think of anyone in your life right now that is your fellow Christian whom you are trying to exact justice from instead of granting mercy? I'm not saying you have to tell me. But I'm saying this is the test. You know, can we think of someone that is needing mercy from us, that owes us something, and we're not giving it to them. We're not giving them the mercy. And one way you might be thinking, well, I can't think of anybody. Well, get back to that self-examination. Do we find that we're getting a lot of people that we owe money to, or that we owe for something? Are we finding out that our life is really hard right now? There's just things happening. It's making our life really hard and difficult. Maybe the key is we need to give mercy to that person we thought of. Maybe you can't think of someone today, but probably many of us this week, God will bring it to our attention. And you heard the word today, be merciful. So maybe you think, hey, I'm good. I don't need mercy. I don't need to be merciful because I don't need mercy. I'm good. I got it all together. Well, your choice is mercy or torture. Which do you want?
Well, there's that show Dharma and Greg, and that I just, it just really hit me. And she's got the picturesque way of thinking about mercy in a new age way, and it's just
put it in the bubble
and blow it away. And I think about that when you're talking about
that's
mercy.
Kind of cute.
Yeah.
Somebody else?
I was just gonna say one thing because I see that last part where it says mercy or torture, and this is one of my kind of life scriptures that has helped me more than anything is this whole Matthew 18 section. And one of the things that really caught my eye where it said they turned him over to the torturer. When we are walking, and I'm saying this from my life experience, when we are walking in unforgiveness and not extending mercy, every time we think of that person, we are tortured or troubled. Their name comes up and it's like, woo! Like this. I don't know the rest of it, but that's how it was with me. Until a very good Christian counselor pointed out to me, I needed to forgive someone. And this became a huge thing with me because I totally understand the tormentor. Some versions say tormentor because I really looked all that up. Because the minute you think of that person, because mercy and forgiveness are right there. They're right there together.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you forgive someone, especially someone that didn't ask to be forgiven, that didn't tell you they had wronged you, but you have to forgive them anyway because there's not a choice. And all I'm saying is the torture that you go through every time that situation or person's name comes up, if you don't want to live with that anymore, forgive them and let it go. And it takes the whole burden off of us.
Amen.
We need that mercy from God.
Amen. Anna.
How do you know if you're meddling in your family? Like, what if the person that you're always there for is always being super or something hard, no matter how much you help? But yet they're always seeming to have just, how do you know if it's God interfering because they just keep doing the same thing over, or if they're just always having a hard time?
Well, not to give you a snippy answer, but that's, you pray. You ask God, show me, is this you trying to do something in their life? Are these the consequences of their actions? Or is this where they have a debt against me that you are asking me to give mercy to? So, you know, identifying the source of the consequences and the trouble goes a long ways to doing that, and then ask God, you know, what part should I play? Do I keep hands off? Do I communicate something, teach something? Do I go and purposely bless them and give them grace and mercy so as to kind of steer their attention to you? So there's no pat answer, but it starts with prayer, asking God to show you.
I have a friend in Niagara Falls that shows up at church at the end of the month. He always needs $10 or $20 for me for food or the drug he needs for his asthma and all that. I know he's getting pop with it. And I confronted him before, but then I kind of backed out. So now I try to leave my money at home. But So I'm not too sure what to do. This is a problem with him, between him and his wife, too. But I think I need to again. I don't know. I just need to think. I tell him I don't believe you. I'll take him to the grocery store. I'll take him to the drug store or whatever he needs, but not hand him money. Mm-hmm. But I feel kind of mean or...
Well, but that's not really a situation where you're called necessarily to give him mercy because he's not owing you anything.
Oh, he always going to pay me back. Never does.
Oh. I always start the thing with when people ask us for money, I say, well, we're not a bank. We're a church. I'm not going to loan you the money. We're either going to give it to you or we're not. Mm-hmm. And that way I don't have that debt built up.
Well, I don't want to give him the money because I think he's lying.
Yeah.
But well, you do the right things and you give them food.
Yeah.
You do what God tells you in your heart. I give people food all the time standing on the street corner. Once in a great while I get money, but I can't really give money to those people, but I usually give them food.
Even if you do, what they do with it is between them and God.
That's right. But I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to buy pot.
You're fine. You don't have to. You can.
I'll just tell them that.
Yeah.
He'll probably know.
Yeah.
Maybe you're showing mercy by not giving it to him.
Exactly. Because then he will buy the pot, but if he doesn't have the money,
churches may
start.
And that's where I think he mentioned in there how emotion can be a misuse of the gift of mercy. And so that's where you have to go back to some of those principles and the discerning and the wisdom and stuff, because really, that gentleman is playing on your emotions, right? Mm-hmm. He's playing on that, am I going to feel guilty because he said he needs food and I didn't give him money for food? Because you don't believe he's using it for food, so he's playing on that emotion of guilt. So that's where you have to go back to that, you know, that wisdom and that discernment and that, you know, and then you are showing mercy. You say, well, I won't give you cash, but I'll take you to the, or I'll go to the grocery store, tell me, you know, $20 worth of groceries that you need, and I will go buy you bread, milk, and butter and bring it to your house or take you there and pay for, you know, $20. And if they choose not to, then you have your answer. Mm-hmm. You don't need to feel, you don't have to feel guilty or let them play on your emotions and use you as a doormat. Mm-hmm. And that's where being that discernment and understanding where... Because a lot of people will do that. They play on that. Well, aren't you a Christian? I mean, I don't know how many times you have heard people say that to you, but I've heard it. Well, you're not really being a true Christian if you don't just do whatever I say or whatever I think you ought to do. And so that's where you really have to go back to the prayer and the discernment and the wisdom and seek counsel like you did in here. So maybe you don't know the answer, so you go to your pastor or to some wise women in the church and say, so I'm faced with this situation and I'm really struggling. Is this mercy? Is this, you know, what am I supposed to do? And you seek counsel over it, too.
Well, Satan tried to get Jesus to do a whole bunch of stuff that Jesus didn't do. And the lesson that I get from that whole thing is Jesus used scripture every time to counter what Satan wanted. Come up with some scriptures on what you're supposed to be doing or not doing or what you want, how you want to deal with it. And just quote him scripture.
And then, you know, being merciful is a character of the heart. It's a picture of the heart. Are you merciful in nature now that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? So it's our being, it's our personality. It becomes part of us. We're merciful. Do people see us? Do they see us and know us as a merciful person? So.
Mark, stop.
That was trouble heading. Or did you say stop the sermon?
Well, I'm trying to move you from decimal to decimal. Maybe he's trying to stop the sermon, too.
This all goes back to, actually, to her original reading this morning, and the whole thing of, if you're not being merciful, then you're probably thinking of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's self involved. So, like the person who, he's being the opposite of merciful by asking for money when he knows he doesn't need it for food, he wants it for drugs. So, I mean, you're trying to be merciful to somebody who's not being merciful. So if you really want to see, should I give this person mercy?
There's a point there.
Maybe you got to examine their heart. Why, you know, are they in need of mercy, or are they being like the guy who wouldn't give mercy to the...
But also remember, this parable is aimed at the church. So first and foremost is between brothers and sisters in Christ.
I was wondering, you know, the specific that I'm very grateful for this message, because I've had a lot of internal struggle in the past 5 or 6 months since my mom left, as far as mercy goes, and you know, I think this kind of cuts it through. She didn't know me anything. You know, her bed she's laying in now is the bed she made 20 years ago, and I still tried, but I got really quickly with myself of not misusing mercy, and could see it wasn't sticking, it wasn't helping.
Sometimes mercy is not giving them the money or whatever, because then they can't get the drugs, and maybe, you know, they'll be in DTs or something, and they'll get picked up by the police, and they'll go to rehab or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he said it's not tolerating evil.
Yeah.
He says that nothing.
And mercy doesn't mean throw wisdom out the window.
Right.
All right. Well, I'm blessed that you guys got this involved in the message. But let us gather around and pray for one another.